Five, four, three, two, one. I'm John Miglosh for the WDMA. Tom Fishburne, start off. The large print giveth, and the small print taketh away. In 1976, Tom Waits released his classic song, Step Right Up. That link will take you there. And you can listen to it. And it's kind of a rap-sounding song. And he took like every advertising headline ever written and strung it together into a song. It's pretty funny. And, you know, it'll take away your warts and it'll save your soul and you'll never need another one. And return the unused portion and all this stuff. But Tom points out at the end, he says, the large print giveth and the small print taketh away. And in my experience, and I could show you my portfolio, that's pretty much true. That I did a project for the Billy Graham Association. And, well, the one thing we found, we looked at about 100 ads. And the one thing we found, and this was for annuities, it was for, you know, an elderly target market. But one of the things we found was if the type got below 8 point, it didn't get any leads at all. It just went, it went down if it was, you know, 10, 9. When it got to 8, it just plunk off the cliff. And so, you know, there are consequences. You know, Oakley had the response device in fine print in the copy. Very, very bad. And we're going to be looking at the latest Land's End catalog. And my wife didn't like it. And so I'll tag Daniel, who's one of the creative guys over there. So Jean-Paul Edwards, managing director at OMD Worldwide, recently observed, we've passed peak clutter in terms of as many ads as possible on a page, but clutter manifests in other ways, yeah. And Dr. Augustine Fu will tell you that they put more ads on a page than is actually possible to put on a page. And then they have the bots click those ads more than the regular ads. And so you end up getting a bill. But, you know, and that's how we can multiply the number of advertisers and the number of ads without actually increasing the number of actual square inches of visual space in the world. But anyway, 20 years ago, according to Jean-Paul, 20 years ago, broadcaster ITV maybe only had 3,000 to 4,000 advertisers a year. Okay, and I don't know what ITV even is, but let's just say TV. Now, Facebook claims it's got 10 million, right? Because of two reasons. One, it does allow more local targeting than TV. It's a smaller, you can use smaller geographies in Facebook, which is wonderful. You better make sure you do, or you'll get leads from all over the world accidentally and get charged for that. But also, it has the smaller advertisers that wouldn't have probably advertised on TV. Today's arms race may be hyper-personalized, data-driven, AI-powered, but it's the same old war for attention. Stop the Scroll is the new Step Right Up. Step Right Up is the song that was mentioned earlier. Okay, Tom likes the wisdom from Seth Godin. You're trying to get through all the noise and the distraction and the clutter with your message. Here's the thing. You are the noise and the distraction and the clutter, right? Okay. Just because it's important to you doesn't mean it's important to us. Okay, and that's one of the keys. How does it get to be important to your audience? It is, of course, in the eye of the beholder, Tom writes. Instead of creating, or maybe that's still the quote, you know, my thinking on quotes is you put a quote at the beginning and a quote at the end. This one has a quote at the beginning and not the end, and at the beginning and not the end, and again at the beginning and not the end. And then finally, here's one at the beginning and the end. I don't know. I guess it's all Seth Godin, or else these are mixed up. Instead of creating an ad campaign that somehow cuts and invades, consider creating a product and a service and a story that we'd miss if we couldn't find it. You know, and that's how I think of Land's End. We can't break through the clutter by adding to it, Tom writes. I believe that's Tom, right? He's quoting this up here. You are the clutter. Okay, so November 2023, boring headline, dull copy, bland product, no offer. Maybe the reason our ad isn't breaking through is the level of media spend. Well, that is a factor. You know, if nobody sees it, then it's probably not going to break through the clutter, right? Make the logo bigger. How big can you make it? And I've done that a lot. It does sometimes help if that's the problem. You know, there's some, you know, there's a limit, especially in outdoor. But too often in outdoor, they don't make the sign clear. I pass outdoor ads all the time. I was on a little bit of a road trip this weekend, and I see so many ads, so many outdoors that they might look good in front of you or on your monitor, but when they get up on, you know, walk across the room, put it on your monitor and walk across the room, you will be able to see this logo, right? You'll be able to see that across the room, but you can't see most, or you can't read most outdoor ads if you're across the room. How much clutter will it take to break through all this clutter? So Tom's had this idea for a long time. Okay, and the advertising, evolution of advertising. When was this? 2017. Step right up. So he knew this song long ago. But wait, there's more. They're great. Don't forget the purse you browsed 6 months ago. AI and ad blocking. And get that. So anyway, you can't do that with direct mail. And here it comes. Let's talk about direct mail. So, 6 ways to use direct mail to win back your previous customers from Mike Gunderson, right? Okay, previous customers, is that redundant? I would say so. Every customer is a previous customer. Because all data is in the past, all action is in the past. Maybe not to them, but, you know, is it a lapsed customer? And that's by definition. You know, is it a year ago? Is it 2 years ago? Is it 4 years ago? We made a lot of hay in Cabela's selling hunting supplies to people who bought a muzzleloader 4 years ago. We found that when people bought high-ticket items, they would go dormant for a while. Cabela's had been just mailing you for 12 months and then stopping no matter what if you didn't reorder, and they would mail you around the season. And when the new season came back a year later, they stopped mailing you. If you hadn't bought all those other things that you weren't interested in, it was the opposite of personalization. Anyway, that was long ago. Direct mail is mostly renowned as customer acquisition. I'm not sure that's true. It you know, it's a good tool for that, but most of the catalog mailers I know scaled back when the internet came along and they decided they could acquire customers by the internet much cheaper than they could with a catalog. And I've always recommended the less you know about a customer or a target market, the less you should spend per contact, right? Which is why TV makes a lot of sense. If you really don't know your target, you can cover a lot of ground with TV, right? For less money. But if you know your target, then spend more on them. And maybe a catalog isn't enough money. Maybe you should do more for them than that. Maybe three-dimensional or a birthday card or something like that. So direct mail allows you a lot of upside flexibility. You can mail them a package. You can mail them a free gift. You can mail them, you know, almost anything you want, a baseball bat with a label on it. So direct mail is more than customer acquisition, and that's the point of the article, really. But I have seen a lot of mailers who only had catalogs scale back to postcards, scale back to other things, and often cut out the customer acquisition and try and do that with digital. What we found in the past 2 decades now is that those customers acquired with digital are worth about a quarter of what the catalog acquired customers are worth. So you got to be careful. So, you know, it's a balance. It depends. It is renowned as customer acquisition and should be kept in place, but it also is an excellent customer reactivation tool. And work with lead follow-up, can send more information effectively, a better way to invite people to a store who've visited your website than just keep everything online. And re-engaging with lost customers is almost a for sure way to get a higher response rate than acquisition mailers, right? So, you definitely want to use mail with your customers, your leads, and other follow-up areas. So, re-engage with lapsed customers, tell the recipients they are missed, address the reason they left, offer a compelling reason for them to come back, make it easy for them to return. So, offer a hard-to-resist motivational offer, and it, of course, assumes you can come up with one. After 25, 30, almost 30 years of thousands of models, I found these things very difficult to actually pull off. Newer customers will respond to a different promotion offer that speaks than one that speaks to more long-standing customers. I found that customers that leave for very specific reasons. If it's a really long-standing customer, they're probably disappointed with you in some way. Whereas if it's a new customer, they're just bored, or they would like to switch suppliers and vendors. They haven't developed anything that they really would miss. They just found you for a need and filled it. Make sure the offer speaks to the customer's history. That's very, very difficult. Much more difficult than people think, right? Even at the most basic level, hunting versus fishing. Beyond that, got very difficult. You could go high ticket. You could go bow hunting versus gun hunting, but not much, not much. Really didn't work. And a woman that buys jewelry, will she also buy apparel? Probably does. Does she buy it from you? Maybe not. My wife, in her grocery shopping, she grew up in Chicago where there was a lot of choice. She would go to Dominic's Finer Foods for her Italian sausage, even after we moved to Wisconsin, which is like the sausage capital of North America, anyway, not maybe Germany, but I said, "Can't you find some Italian sausage around here?" Nope, had to get it in Dominic's. She'd go to the Piggly Wiggly for their meat, but she'd go to Sendick's for their produce. She had these categories, and that goes along with Trout and Reese marketing warfare. Okay, which I recommend. It's about how your brain works. Variable data printing to create customized mailers with tailored content. As I said, very difficult, very difficult. Much more difficult than you think, so test it. Be sure to test it. Try the tailored versus the untailored. Sometimes when you think you're telling them what they might want to buy, you're actually excluding things that they would buy. More targeted offer, as far as product goes, means you're not showing them the big picture either. Okay, birthday greetings, recognize their birthday. I get probably more of those than I do from actual friends and relatives anymore. You got to get on Facebook to get your birthday greetings nowadays. Create personal reward reminders. Absolutely. I get a little catalog from United. It's what's kept me on my United credit card for all these years. A direct mail piece, multi-channel. Okay. Direct them to your website or your landing page to give them a cookie and follow up with mail on leads and on people that visit your website, trigger-based direct mail. All of this cuts through the clutter more than digital. Okay? So test looping out. Brian Dillette at LS Direct said they always have holdout tests. They compare the people who visit the site and they could mail with the people that visit the site and they do mail. Okay? So they look and make sure that the mail has incremental lift. Always important. And with any of these offers, make sure you're doing holdout testing, especially in the multi-channel, because you want to make sure that the mail is worth it. It can raise the cost dramatically and very fast. So make sure it's worth it. But oftentimes it's more than worth it. And especially if your market is fairly focused and fairly tight, and there just aren't that many people of that type, in which case you really do want to elevate the clutter breaking. But that is one of the great things about mail, is that it does break through the clutter. And so it's arguably the best tool to execute your win back campaigns. Thanks for that, Mike Gunderson. Okay, and here's a little catalog critique of American Girl Style by Shannon Santana over at J. Schmidt. And she reminds us that, just like I grew up with the Sears catalog at Christmas, picking out what I wanted, she grew up with the American Girl Style. And she points out, she's giving us things that they could improve on. One was inclusivity. She said, they should maybe have a wheelchair. Yes, they do have a wheelchair. I just searched wheelchair on their website. But wheelchair takes up a lot of space if you really want to show it properly. And so wheelchair might not be the best thing to put in the catalog. Okay. She talked about inclusivity and that they have lots of varieties of race and hair color and eyes and skin tone and all that. I did notice that out of the top, that the top 11 dolls were white. There's a sense in which inclusivity does mean that since 60% of America is, and this is American girls, so not the rest of the world, but America, is white, that to be the most inclusive, you want to have the most white. But their best-selling dolls were mostly white. I thought it was interesting that their Disney dolls were at the very bottom of the list. Now, I don't know if that list was in order. I can't say. But I thought it was a pretty good proportion of race spread across the United States. You know, can't fault her for that. One of the fun things was Pleasant Roland came up to me at a conference that I spoke at and said, I'd really like some help. I have this catalog of expensive collectible dolls. And I said, well, how many catalogs do you mail? She said, like 2,000. She knows this is a very, very beginning. And I, you know, I didn't understand. That's my storytelling for the day. I didn't have her vision for it. I wish I would have. That's one of the biggest mistakes I've ever made. Sometimes an idea is much better than you think and pays to let someone pay you to find out if it is or not. Anyway, so Pleasant, if you're out there and listening, I apologize. I've always regretted it. I've always regretted not being acquainted with you. You seemed like a very interesting person from what I've read. Okay, so, but the storytelling in 1997, each doll received 3 to 5 spreads, not pages, but spreads. Okay, so that's 6 to 10 pages per doll. And there is a book along with Samantha. I did look online because I didn't have an American Girls catalog handy. And they do sell American Girls books that go with the doll. This happens to be the same doll, Samantha, and one of the best sellers. It was one of the more traditional looking. That's why I picked it. I didn't realize that it was also featured in this article. Yes, the storytelling is largely gone. And the accessorization with each doll is largely gone. And that is a shame. Images and page hierarchy. Yes, I agree. I agree with, now I'm going to call her Samantha, but whatever. I agree with the author. And my wife threw this at me the other day. She found the new Land's End catalog. We'll switch over to that for right now, if I can figure out how to do it. Okay. And it's called the Social Active Collection. But she said, you know, all of a sudden, they've got big pictures, way white space. Right there, way white space. Almost no copy. And she said, you can't even tell what this stuff is made out of. She said, they don't tell you. Is this, and she specifically highlighted this spread, is this something, is it cotton? Is it somewhat cotton? It literally doesn't say. We looked all over. It says, elevated cuts and fabrics to wear anywhere. And that's all it says. She was very, very disappointed with this. Because it's all white space. Now, you do get, sometimes cotton is mentioned, okay, but largely not. Largely it's a picture book, I'm sure, trying to get you to the website. And she's, you know, we hunted through this. And, you know, there's a minimum below which you shouldn't go. You know, there's really hard to get an all cotton t-shirt anymore. I think that their super tees are, but, yeah, here it says 100% cotton. Reverse type over a picture. The worst possible way. Can you see that? Super T, 100% cotton. It's hard to see it over there. Worst possible place to put a headline, especially when you've got all of this stuff. And they don't show turtlenecks, probably because it's a summer. But the Super T turtleneck is what I have on right now. And I have the school fleece because it's the simplest one. Me and Land's End go back a long way. Anyway, I've gone too long. I hope I gave you some good content. Have a great day. Like and share. Reshare. Your friends will know you're smart. Bye-bye.